2020 was a very difficult year for America and for some of us here. With the pandemic that started around January, February, March, depending on how far back we want to go, the terrible riots, the political unrest, the rancor and hatred that Americans are showing toward one another, the terrible famines that are beginning in third world countries because of the lockdowns. It's been a very, very difficult year. And so we do have a very sober beginning to this year. And I think that one of the verses that I have chosen to begin our lesson this morning, although it would apply equally to every year, I think this year many of us can make melody in our hearts. We can understand this verse maybe a little better than we could before having to witness all of these things. Historically, we knew all these things were possible, but to have them coming at us all in one year, to watch our nation becoming more and more wicked and more ungodly, and to see these terrible consequences that have come upon us, it's very helpful to read verses like this. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. My age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. They busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. I think there's a very, very important thought in this verse that we all need to give careful thought to. I've mentioned this a few times in this last year, that many of us have been leaning on the crutch of material prosperity and material health to draw us near to God and to help us to think that God is blessing and helping us. And some of us have lost sight that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And so it's good for us to get back to our roots. It's good for us to understand and realize that this world is not my home, that we are just passing through, and that our treasures actually are laid up beyond the blue, and that the effects of what's going on in this world today should really have very little impact if our spiritual values and our spiritual goals have remained true and they have remained exactly the way that they ought to be. And so this has been a good wake-up call for every Christian. It's been a good opportunity for us to make some of these assessments, but it does lead to where will we go from here? What direction is our country going to go in? And of course, we don't know yet. But judging from what happened last year, things may not get a lot better in this country for at least some time to come. And so we need to be pondering these things. Again, not so much because these things have happened, but because they're helpful to help us to understand, I need to know my end. Now, if we can do this, everything else is going to fall into place. If we can just remember that we are but a vapor, and that at our best state, we're but a vapor. So every new year, I'm just going to throw these up so you can look at them. Every new year should be a time of reflection and a time of meditation. Where have we been? What have we done? One year closes, a new year begins. Another milestone we have passed. We are now 1 year older, and we have this opportunity to think about where we have been and what we've done. That was our lesson last Sunday morning. We talked about the fact that each passing year gives us the opportunity to realize that for all these things, we will go before God in judgment. And are we prepared for that judgment day? Where are we going now? And what plans are we going to make today to figure out how to get there? How quickly we came to where we are today. Some of us look in the mirror, we can't believe how old we are. We still feel like young people in our hearts. But decades and decades have passed, seemingly without even being noticed. And all of us need to give careful thought to how quickly we have arrived where we are and how quickly we will be standing before the judgment seat of God. So it's time to make a decision. It always is time. Just this time of year, I like to focus on it. Do we need to reset our priorities? Is it time for us to seek first His kingdom, or have we already been seeking His kingdom? Time is fleeting, and clearly we are running out of it, because with every passing year, we draw ever closer to eternity. And God is very clear about this. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this cometh judgment. I especially like the American Standard verse here because I think that it puts it so well. It is appointed unto man once to die. That the next thing will be the judgment. And so, we only have one life to live. There are no second chances. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no such thing as some way to resolve what should have been resolved here and now. If we want to be remembered like David, then we have to live like David. And at some point in our life, we have to make the decision that this is the most important. And again, I hope every one of us here this evening or this morning has already made that decision. And we could already know that what was written about David will be written about us. First of all, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who shall do all my will. You know, it's hard to find people like that anymore today because many people want to substitute their own will for God's will. Jesus came to reveal the will of God. And his teachings on such subjects as marriage and divorce, such subjects as the responsibility and obligation to live a pure, holy, honorable life, to get rid of our greed, to get rid of our hatred, to get rid of our selfishness. Are we truly a man or a woman after God's own heart? Because if God were here, he'd be making the same decisions I'm making. And I'm making the same decisions that he would want to be made. For David, after he had served his own generation, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep and was laid up unto his fathers. Think about this verse. Right. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors. Their works follow them. What kind of works will follow us? Well, what we did last year, what we did the year before that, how we have come to where we are today, our spiritual maturity, as we're going to read in a few moments. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, are we teachers? It's the will of God that we be teachers. If we want to be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart and serve him in our generation, as David did in his, then there's certain steps that need to be done. We can't just hope that somehow, when our day of death comes, God will see us as being faithful. It is a year after year after year decision of looking back and saying, I don't want to do last year this year. And looking back and looking forward and telling ourselves, I hope I can get further this year than I got last year. Are we truly living to die in the Lord? That's a question. We all want to die in the Lord. We all want to be saved. We all want to go to heaven. That's a given. The question that we need to ask ourselves this time of year as we make our plans toward what we're going to do in 2021 is whether we want to die in the Lord, we want to die faithful, we want to do all of God's will. And that requires two things. It requires, first of all, that we look back on the sin that so easily besets us and ask ourselves whether we really did all that we could last year to break that habit or to destroy that mindset, so that at the end of this year, we'll be able to look back and see our progress. And that's my hope, is that we can look back from last year and see our progress. We will bring our years to an end like a sigh. When the day comes, and some of us get it, some of us don't. When the day comes, when the doctor says, set your life in order, because you will not live out the year. We will end our years like a sigh. Now, that may happen 10 years from now. It might happen this year. We might not even get any warning. But God does say this, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. I kind of like to stick with 80. I'm hoping to make it to 80. A lot of people today get beyond that, and that's certainly a blessing. But the Lord's pretty clear here that we need to number those days, those years. Where are we? They're mileposts. We get year 1, we get year 20, we get year 30, we get year 40. Where do we want to be? Where were we? Where do we want to be in the future? The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. We live in a sin-cursed world. Ecclesiastes makes it very clear that what happens to the wicked also happens to the righteous, and there's no guarantee that living a faithful life to the Lord is going to keep us from this toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I hope we all have that heart of wisdom. I hope we don't have to look into the future for it. I hope that after all of these years of being a Christian, that we've come to terms with the fact that we are mortal. You don't feel like that in your 20s. But the quicker we can feel our mortality and we can realize we brought nothing in, we can't take anything out, we need to get our lives in order. Because with each passing year, God's doing things in our lives to help us number our days. And he's trying to help us understand they're soon gone. They're so soon gone. And God wants us to pick that up. If you can pick that up in your 20s, you're way ahead of the game. Because if we can start in our 20s, as the writer of Ecclesiastes, to bear, actually I think it was Jeremiah, to bear the yoke in our youth, to flee our youthful lusts and not allow them to get a foothold. You know, God knows our days. He knows the day of our death. This psalm is incredible to me. I just love it. There's so many wonderful things in it, but I've just picked one verse out today. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I think that's why God could say to that wicked man, that covetous man, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now, I don't know. It certainly wasn't 2020, because we're still all here today. Might be 2021. We don't know. That's why there's an urgency. There's a need. And as I said, I think it's good from year to year to at least bring these things into the open and think about them. There's nothing morbid about this. I've always liked the verse. I use it a lot when I have to do a funeral. It's better to go to the house of mourning to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. God wants us to be looking at these things. He wants us to be thinking. It gives us a heart of wisdom to be thinking about how life is unfolding for us and how we want to be remembered. You know, the preacher can't work with anything except what you give him. And there are some funerals where I preach. I'm not like some preachers. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to flatter people. I'm not going to talk about all the wonderful things somebody did when he didn't do them. I'm going to preach the truth. And each one of us is building a life. And even if the preacher doesn't have the boldness to say the truth, God will. On the judgment day, God will give to each one of us exactly what we deserve. And so, as James puts it, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So, what's my purpose in this? Am I just trying to make us depressed? Am I just trying to force us to think about things that we really don't want to think about? No, that's not it at all. God says you've got to think about these things if you want to have a heart of wisdom. We need to know how frail we are. Because if we know how frail we are, we will be living our lives properly. If we know how to number our days and have that heart of wisdom. And so God has given us a set time for things. And I think we've talked about this enough times that we don't have to go fully through this slide. But let's look at that last point. There is only one thing that we can take with us. We can't take our money. We can't take our prosperity. We can't take anything from this life. All of the things that we are hoping for and focusing on, our retirement or our 401k or our opportunities to amass possessions. Like God said to that foolish man, this very day your soul is required of you, and the things that you own, who will they go to? And how will they use them? So the only thing we have, as the book of Revelation puts it, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed are those who, like David, have works that are going before them, where the Lord can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. But you can't hear those things unless we pay the price. We can't flatter the Lord. We can't in any way do anything except exactly what the Lord has asked us to do. You know, Paul talks about urgency. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's going to get out of prison within about a year of writing this book. He's going to get 1 or 2 years to live. Then he's going to go back to prison, and Rome is going to execute him. Paul has already lived about 80% of his life. And yet here he is, still making goals, still making plans. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold yet, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think if we could summarize all of the verses that we've given up to this point, it would be right here. We have a goal. 2020 is gone. I reached some of the goals that I intended to reach in 2020 so that I can now move into 2021. That's what we all should be able to say. But then Paul makes an application that has always been important. As many of us as are mature, some translations have perfect. Other translations, and of course the idea behind this is that these are the people who, like David, are doing the will of God in their generation. David did what God needed in his generation, but God needs somebody like David. Not just in one place, but in all of the churches. Every local church functions today like the kingdom that David ruled over, and we have an opportunity in every one of these congregations to allow our influence to be just like David. And so as many of us as are mature, what Paul just said, that's me. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how you feel. If you're mature. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. Well, I'm going to pray for that. Father, if there's anything in my life that would keep me out of heaven, if there's anything in my life that I'm otherwise minded, please bring it to my attention this year so I can take care of it. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind, brethren. Join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So, with that standard, are we mature? Would you say you're a mature Christian because, like Paul, you're pressing on? You're never content where you are. You're forgetting what lies behind, whether what lies behind is shameful or whether what lies behind is something that we can take pride in. It's in the way. We need to let that go. That will be recorded by the Lord in the books. And we can move on. And that's exactly what Paul is recommending that we do. So, if we have joined in following his example, we're mature. And if at this point in the lesson, your conscience is starting to be a little uncomfortable, if we haven't joined fully yet, we still have time. We can repent today. Everything in 2020 is gone. We get a fresh start. That's the beauty of Christianity. That's what the grace of God allows us to do. I can ask for forgiveness for all of the things that I have in my past that I'm ashamed of, and God will forget them, and then I get to start new. So although we have a sober beginning to the year, this can be the best year of our life if we want to make the proper decisions today, so that at the end of this year we can look back and think like this. It isn't just Paul. It isn't just David. Let us also. Paul wrote this, what, almost 2,000 years ago. There's been a lot of witnesses since then. We are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Some of them are our own mother and father. Some of them are the godly men and women that we have known who have tried to testify to us. Just like in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the testimony of Abel, who though dead is still speaking. We have the testimony of Noah, the testimony of Abraham and Enoch and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, and it just goes on and on and on. This great cloud of witnesses. So let's lay aside every weight. Brethren, there's no question that there are things that we did last year and things that we're still struggling with. Those are the weights. We're not happy about them. They trouble us. But God says, cast all your cares on the Lord, including the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, including our sins. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin, which so easily besets us. Well, how do we do that? We ask for forgiveness. We make a decision. Today is going to be better than yesterday. And of course, at the end of today, maybe you're not that much better. Hopefully it was better. But maybe tomorrow will be better than today. And it may be incremental. But after being a Christian for 20 years, we should be able to look back and say, wow, I was way down there when I started. Now I'm up here. The only problem is, as we've mentioned so many times in so many sermons, my mind doesn't stay back there. My mind knows 50 times more than it did when I first became a Christian. And so I'm no better off today than I was then. It's just that the goals have changed. The goals are higher now. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Like Paul said, we have to forget what lies behind so that we can stretch and press on toward what lies ahead. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There are no exceptions. We're either following the great cloud of witnesses, or we're following those people in 1 Corinthians 10 who lusted after evil things, who murmured, who were unfaithful, who died in the wilderness. And Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they were written for our example and for our admonition. As Paul ended his life with a sigh, as Paul looked toward the future, he said, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day." Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed are those whose works follow them. For I am already being offered. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. Can we say that? Did we fight the good fight this last year? I have finished the course. Are we still running that course? I have kept the faith. Did we keep the faith? Are we ready to keep it even more stringently? Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing. As we think about these things, are we happy or unhappy? We can tell a lot about our spirituality by how these verses make us feel. Just quickly, because our time is going, how many of these can we put a check? I'm seeking first the kingdom. I'm doing it with all of my might. I'm continuing steadfastly. I have chosen the Lord this day. I am buying up the opportunities. I am a faithful steward, zealous of good works. Joshua at 40 was Moses' right-hand man. At 80, he took the helm. At 110, he said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord." Solomon couldn't say that. At 40, as he began his reign, he was a godly, devout servant of the Lord. But at 80, he had built idols, temples. And when God told him he was going to take 10 tribes away from him, instead of repenting, he decided he was going to kill Jeroboam to keep what he thought was still rightfully his. So, some worthy goals for this year. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers. For this cause, adding on your part all diligence. These are scriptures we've gone over and over and over again, but it's time, brethren, for us to take stock. Am I a teacher? Have I added virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness to my faith? Am I adding? Am I working? Am I growing? Once we set our goals, make a goal today. I think we've got enough things to work on. Let's find one and let's make this with all our might this year. I'm going to do this. I want to grow in this. I want to be a better prayer. I want to be stronger in my ability to resist temptation and see the open door God has given for me to escape. Or maybe this year I want to try and become more involved in talking to my friends and neighbors about the Lord. Let's make plans. Let's set goals. Let's assess progress. Keep notes. Write down goals. You say, "Well, where do you get all of that?" Well, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, some of us may be thinking, "Well, that's all symbolic." Well, maybe. But it sure wouldn't hurt to write some of these things down where we can see them and remember, "I made this goal." Because we certainly don't want to end 2021 and tell ourselves, you know, I really didn't grow like I thought I would. Motivation? Look at verse 2. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. I don't know how deeply and strongly this is our one hope. Some of us are still hoping for retirement. Some of us are still hoping for prosperity and ease and life that at least goes on and on in this world for a period of time. We're still hoping for those things. But we need to stop. As Peter said in 2 Peter 3, seeing these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? When He's revealed, we will be like Him. What exactly does that mean? Well, our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, according to the working whereby He is able even to subject all things to Himself. Keep in mind, this is the same Lord that when God said, "Let there be light," He made the light. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. By His will, the earth coalesced and became the world we live on. By His will, the sun, the moon, and the stars have been brought into being. So by His will, He is able even to subject all things unto Himself. Well, what's He going to do? He's going to conform this body to His body. I don't know what kind of body He has right now. I know it's glorious. This is my last slide. We're all running, but we're not all going to receive a prize. Many are called, few are chosen. And that concern needs to be with us, ever with us. We don't want to be the once saved, always saved group of people who are just relying completely on the grace of God. I'm not saying the grace of God is not important, but the grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Paul says the purpose of the grace of God is not for us to sit in our easy chair and wait for the Lord to come, because once you're saved, you're always saved. The purpose of the grace of God is to give me time to get to the next level. And even though I'm at that next level, it's still the grace of God that's going to save me in the end. But as Paul says, every man that strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. 2020 is gone. If we have any regrets, let's repent of them. 2021 is beckoning us. It is perhaps our last year. It may be the final opportunity we have so that when we go before the Lord, we can hear, "Well done. Blessed are those who die in the Lord because their works follow them." But the works can't follow us until we make the decision, set the goals, execute the plans, make assessments, press on, repent, and grow. And so this lesson was given to each one of us to give us an opportunity to assess where we've been, where we are, where we should be, where we can be at the end of this year. And so the choice is in the hands of each one of us. Like Prince says all the time, the choice is yours. I can't go any further than this. But as Joshua said so long ago, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. our song of invitation, there's a fountain free. Of course, when we first look at this song, we think about baptism, and of course it is dealing with baptism, but after we become a Christian, that fountain free, which is the blood of Christ, is still available to us. So if there's anyone in the audience today who needs the fountain free, either to be baptized into Christ and receive the remission of sins and the opportunity to run the race, or if there's something in our past that's holding us back, it's a weight we can't get past, let's set it aside this morning. Let's come forward. Let's confess our sins. Let's move on. I think you know this congregation is not judgmental. This congregation will not scowl. We will be happy. We will smile. We will shake your hand. We will commiserate. But let's get rid of it so that at the end of the next year, it's not with us anymore. As we stand and sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone in the audience who's been touched by this lesson and would like to make their life right in any way, would you please let us know?